This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Good evening and welcome to another delightful episode of your favourite podcast, the one that goes right into the middle of your head, Sunday Supplement. It's episode 90, and with me in the glorious sunshine, over the internet, through the tubes, is Izzy Lawrence. Hello, Izzy.
Hello, Simon. How are you?
That was a bit of a convoluted introduction, wasn't it? I apologise.
Was it not? I liked it. It made it sound like you care. Normally you just go, hello, and welcome to Sunday Supplement. I'm Simon.
I'm not Marek Larwood.
Yes, you are.
All right, fine. I am Marek Larwood. It's episode 90. That means we're 90.
Well, not in years.
Well, I think it takes me about a year to edit this podcast each week. Oh, getting rid of me having like lengthy pauses when I try and think of a word, and you spending 8 hours talking about the Spanish Armada for no reason whatsoever.
A Spanish Armada scares me, okay? Do not joke about that.
Why does an Armada scare you?
As a
not
kid,
even an Armada from history.
Well, as a kid, we were taught about the Spanish Armada, where massive Spanish ships came to invade this wonderful country. And they had to set light to hills to tell everybody about it.
Right. So you're scared of hills going off?
They set light to hills. I'm scared of hills going off. I mean, look at what happened in Iceland.
Well, yeah, but that's a volcano.
That's still a hill.
It's a hill that burst. I'll give you that.
Yes. I don't like hills that burst.
Good. So, did you buy a newspaper for this delectable podcast of ours?
And the Spanish burst hills.
The Spanish do not burst hills.
That's what they do. They throw donkeys off of towers and they burst hills.
No, they play clay court tennis and drive cars very fast in circles.
Henry VIII played I can't say clay court tennis. That's quite a good tongue twister, that.
Clay court tennis.
He played that, and so did Caravaggio.
Okay, did you get a newspaper at all?
I did. I got the best newspaper. I got the daddy of all newspapers, really.
What, you got the Express?
No, Simon. That's the worst paper you can possibly get. Express has never won anything, even when I got it. No, I got the Telegraph.
I got the Express.
A pizza from Pizza Express will tell you more about the world than that newspaper. You could read more in the layers of cheese than you can in the layers of crap that you have to dig through.
Yeah, but my newspaper tastes better.
No.
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
Yes.
Pizza Express, particularly like the, I think it's called like Vesuvius or something, which is a really hot one. I like that one.
What? It's a volcano. You're quite scared by hills bursting, but when a pizza blows off in your face.
No, it doesn't actually erupt in your face, Simon.
Does it make your face erupt because of all the oil?
It makes you cry slightly. It's not as good as the Domino's one, which is like the Meltdown, which has spiced cheese on it as well. That's amazing. I ate that whilst watching Commando. And so, in effect, I cried at the film Commando.
Which is why you often win it the podcast, but I win it life.
No, you don't. I met this week David Cameron and Philip Pullman, so I win.
Yeah, all right.
David Cameron was in my hometown looking more stressed and worried, yet still glowing with a tan. He was strutting around the place like a peak fit bloke, you know, like one of those blokes who could impregnate you with a stare. So my body had a natural reaction to his presence and started its menstrual cycle immediately upon seeing him, just in case he got me pregnant.
Mine too.
I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a constant PMT session up until the election. And after that, we're just going to bleed out of every orifice.
Yeah, they'll just rename PMQs to PMTs. Be fine.
So, shall we get this shitbag on the road? And I'm not talking about David Cameron.
Yes. Let's plunge head forth and deep down inwards towards what is known as Cut Out and Keep, where we find the best bits of our paper, which often is very hard to do.
Oh, it's easy for me.
Well, yeah, you get good papers. Like, you play the game properly.
I do. It's all in the game. EA Sports. They should do an EA Sports computer game version of this podcast.
Sunday Supplement. Challenge everything.
It's in the game. EA Sports.
Sega. Is it a rap for MGM Studios? MGM have gone bust, which means that the Bond franchise has been put on hold. And it starts, yeah. James Bond is bust! Henceforth, the world's most glamorous secret agent will have to globetrot via EasyJet, wear hand-me-down suits and eat Spam.
But that would be a really good thing for a spy to do, because nobody go, well, that must be a spy, he flies EasyJet. I mean, yeah. Really, if you're going to be a spy, you want to be undercover. So really what should happen is James Bond, because he can't make his own movie, he should just turn up in other people's movie and kill the heroine.
Well, just walk into the Lion King.
Yeah, exactly. And just shoot all of the animals and have a massive dinner. That'd work.
It's not a bad idea. I quite like the idea of Bond having to find a new job for the time being. Like, have a CV. It's like skills, dirty sexual innuendos, and killing.
Yeah, but he's fluent in languages, though. I mean, he could become a translator.
Don't rip off a joke from a Bond film and say he's a cunning linguist. Don't do that.
I wasn't going to do that.
Don't do that.
I'm not.
Don't
I wasn't even going there.
Don't
I was
that.
Just imagining him translating for the UN or something, getting bored out of his petty brain and then getting really, really annoyed and shooting Boutros Ghali in the head.
Yeah, and also, like, because there's no budget left, he'll go, this may look like an ordinary biro, but in fact, it is an ordinary biro, but I can still stab you in the eye with it. I'm a trained killer.
That would be a nasty thing to do. Would that kill you, being stabbed in the eye with a biro? You'd be better to just go right up the nose and get the hypothalamus.
It was smart.
It would smart, and it wouldn't be smart. Hey, kids, don't stab each other in the eye with a biro, or buy the Express when you could have bought the Telegraph and got an article by Sandy Toksvig.
I'm doing my Sandy Toksvig impression.
Hey, picture that. Picture Simon doing a Sandy Toksvig. Believe me, the difference between Simon and Sandy Toksvig...
Talent.
Yeah, that's basically it. She's got it, Simon hasn't. And anything that falls out of her head is worthy of note. So this week she is talking about heroes and whether there's a hero lying in the election, and if we could vote for a hero, who would it be? And she's talking about catchphrases originally. So she says, I was a big fan of the 2005 Conservative catchphrase, are you thinking what we're thinking? Because I was usually thinking about biscuits and was delighted so many others were doing the same.
She wants us to find a hero, right? But we search for a hero inside ourselves. So does that mean we have to vote for the candidate that is having sex with us?
Yes, and trust you to be the catcher, not the pitcher.
No. Yeah, I just think Nick Clegg would be a bully. That's all.
Aw, I think Nick Clegg would be a very accommodating gentleman. I think he would bend to your every will. At least he'll have to in a hung parliament.
I think Gordon Brown would sit and watch whilst someone else did something beastly to me.
Today is Batman's birthday, or rather, bam, zap, biff, pow, crash, kapow, sock, pow, splat. It's Batman's birthday.
How old is Batman?
He was born today in 1939 when DC Comics published its first story in Defective Comics then, in Detective Comics number 27.
He was born in a comic. Do you see the flaw in this whole dating?
Well, I would never suggest we do go on a date, but if you want to take me out, you'd have to fight the Q.
Q from Bond?
Not Q from Bond.
Is he one of your suitors too? It may look
amazing.
Like an ordinary bunch of flowers, but it's full of Rohypnol.
Yay!
I think Q would do that.
He would have amazing sexual aids, and not sexual aids. He would have amazing... tools at his disposal. Anyway,
so... Q has got an amazing tool, that is true.
So anyway, Sandy says that she would select a hero from Gotham City Section 8, which included some of the most dysfunctional heroes ever created, and she's hard pushed to pick a favourite. She's torn between the Defenestrator.
The Defenestrator?
Yeah.
Who throws people through windows?
Yes.
Wow.
He obsessively carried the window around with him. And Dog Welder. A cadaverous silent man in a welder's mask who stop evildoers by, and it's almost too weird to tell you, welding dead canines to them. I don't know what stands between some people a life of crime, but certainly having a deceased Labrador spot welded to your forehead might make you think again about shoplifting.
Nice. That would be a really good movie for MGM to have made this year, compared to the one they did make this year called Hot Tub Time Machine, which was starring John Cusack. I'd quite like a hot tub time machine.
It'd be great, except the fact that you'd always turn up wet, which might be hard to explain, particularly if you wanted to go back and see Jesus.
It would save time on the baptism.
It would save time. But Jesus could use your hot tub of time to baptise his disciples. And we could go into the future and see the disaster that is Christianity. Come back and say, look, I know you're the son of God and that, but can we just keep it quiet? Anyway, Sandy says, we need someone with a strong moral code to sort things out, but I honestly don't know who it might be. The Conservatives have DIY man. He'll help you to help yourself. Labour have try again man. Watch him solve things in just another 13 years. And of course, the Lib Dems have the man who might hold the balance of power, which unfortunately might make him well-hung man. Hey, hey. I love Sandy. I really do. I think she's wonderful.
Is she better than James Bond, though?
Yes. Sandy Toxis versus James Bond. James Bond will try and sleep with her, and she'll go, no.
Should we play Article or Farcical, then?
No.
What?
I've got a little thing. Right, no. It's an interview, right? The feminist Kate Smurthwaite, who is also a really funny comedian, and she is brilliant. And I managed to speak with her. Play the tape. So I'm here with feminist extraordinaire and comedian extraordinaire, Kate Smurthwaite.
Hiya.
Do you read any Sunday papers?
Actually, I treat Sundays as my day off. Sunday I don't read any papers. I read the papers all week, and then on Sunday I just eat pizza and do nothing.
So what papers do you read?
Well, I normally read the Indy, that's where I start. And then I look at alternative sources of news, which is to some extent the BBC website, but to be honest, that's not very alternative these days. So then I read things like Alternet, I read a lot of the blogs, I subscribe to a thing called Real News. You basically set up a standing order and it's £3 or £4, and every 2 weeks they send you a DVD of reports from around the world, and they cover quite a lot of issues. They'll cover any big protest, they'll cover union movement stuff, they'll cover environmental stuff, they cover all kinds of fun stuff. I feel like I'm doing a little ad for them now. Buy the Real News.
Yeah, just plug away. That's fine. Use our podcast to promote things. What do you think? This is the main question I want to. What do you think about the Daily Star?
I'm not a fan. I feel it's shelved wrongly. I feel it's misshelved. I feel it should be placed on the top shelf with the other specialist interest magazines. I just think it's pornography. I mean, I just don't see anything else to it. I mean, I'm sure there's news there behind.
Not really. I mean, we occasionally buy it on the Sunday, and there's a boob count often at the back of it, and it comes to over 1,000 sometimes. Literally just breasts.
I've been involved with campaigns for a long time to get the Lad Mags reclassified as pornography, and the Star absolutely, as far as I'm concerned, counts as one of those. And it's sort of noxious to sell it in a way that implies that it's a sort of general interest magazine. I mean, apart from the fact that it's at like buggy eye level in most of the shops, to sell it without just admitting that this is a porn magazine, and, you know, I feel like not only should it be on the top shelf, but like you should be embarrassed to be reading it in public, which people aren't. People sit on public transport and flick through it. You know, they leave it lying in the doctor's waiting room or on the seat on the train when they get off, and I really think it should be sold in a brown paper bag, you know, only to those in trench coats, so that you can shuffle off back to your bedsit and touch yourself and read it and not put it in my face, really.
You're part of the huge feminist movements in London, which was all over the BBC. You had brilliant coverage on the BBC, and are you a member of Object, or...?
I do a lot of work with Object, and I'm involved with quite a lot. I mean, the thing that I was involved with in the documentary is London Feminist Network, which is, well, at the time of the documentary, it was about 1,000 women in London, but it's now about 1,500. People kept seeing the documentary and going, we want to join this. And London Feminist Network is involved, yes, with Object, and I'm doing a big fundraiser for Object on May the 19th. Yay, come to that. And then I'm involved with abortion rights as well. I'm sort of involved with all these things, but I tend to do the speaking out stuff for abortion rights, because if you say that you're, you know, supporting women who have victims of domestic violence, typically the response is, oh, that's very important, how can we help? But if you say you're supporting a woman's right to choose on abortion, typically the response is, you're murdering babies, followed by a glass of water in the face.
So I've basically spoken to Kate. I've dragged her out of actually a Green meeting, and I think that abortion, I mean, it's the ultimate way to offset your carbon.
It's very true. Well, in actual fact, I mean, I said that jokingly, but in actual fact, in a very real way, reproductive rights, they are the solution to everything, because it turns out that when you give women control over when, if and how many children they have, they choose to have a number of children which will A, allow themselves to escape from poverty, and B, allow themselves to survive on the resources available to them. And in actual fact, as soon as we actually do that, which we are so far away from doing all around the world, in actual fact, if we could solve that problem, almost all the other problems we've got would shrink away. And most wars are prompted by a shortage of resources. The long-term situation is, if we could be guaranteeing women reproductive rights, there'd be fairly few problems left to sort out.
Yeah. Did you read Freakonomics? Because it had a chapter in Freakonomics. Or do you want to talk about it?
Well, yeah, and I'm not totally sold on what they say in Freakonomics, but they do draw the point that when you illegalise abortion, something like 16 to 25 years later, there's a significant increase in crime. And they argue that unwanted children are more likely to be the ones that turn to crime. And you can argue that. Personally, it's difficult to sort of go down that road because I'm absolutely not in favour of some sort of selectively encouraging people to have abortions. I think if people want to have kids, then we should actually support them. I think that's another big issue, is supporting single parents and supporting families in poverty and all this kind of stuff. And I'm absolutely not about telling people when they should. And if somebody maybe even knows that the child is going to be seriously disabled and will only survive to the age of 3, if you want to have the child and you want to look after it, then brilliant. I'm not against that. I'm just in favour of letting women choose, because I've got this sort of weird, totally off the wall notion that women might actually be rational, intelligent human beings.
But what about all my knitting and my kittens and things and riding ponies and all of that sort of stuff?
Well, of course, those are the things that we all know little girls are into, and little boys are into guns and stabbing and things. And yet we regard them as, those are sensible pursuits, stabbing and running around with a machine gun. But knitting, if we all did more knitting, perhaps the world would be a better place.
I think so, maybe. One final question, which comes out of nowhere, bit of left field, but all interviewees on a podcast are asked about this. What animal would you put in the Hadron Collider?
Is this animal going to turn into a super animal and take over the world, or is this going to kill it?
I'm not fixed on the science, so...
Right. I think humans, then. I think humans. The Large Hadron Collider is about the size of the Circle Line in London. I think if we could get the Circle Line up to that speed, we'd save a lot of problems.
It'd be crowded.
Well, no, it wouldn't, though. If it went faster, the trains would be less crowded, because you'd get there faster, and then you'd get off and get out of the way.
You'd get there before you began.
Yeah, with a potentially a black hole. Some people on the Circle Line deserve to be sucked into a black hole.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much, Kate Swerthwaite.
Right, shall we play Article or Farcical now, then?
All right. In this game, Article or Farcical, I will read out three articles from the Sunday Telegraph and one article I have made up. And Simon, it is up to you to decide which are the articles and which is the farcicals. And readers, you can play along at home if you care to. Are you ready, Simon?
I am readier than a battery that's not a Duracell in a pot full of oven chips.
No, I don't get that either, readers. Let's go!
Ever ready and oven ready. Oh, it was hilarious.
Was it?
No.
Really?
Yes.
Gladiators of Norfolk.
Right. What's that about, exactly?
It's about a chariot racing for kids. It's a day out thing.
Why didn't they say, will you win your gladiator race? Norfolk and chance.
Norfolk, because it's the Telegraph, chance. Simon, and I don't approve of that language. Number two. This is a column by Oliver Pratchett, and it's... I could use my past skills as a pig scratcher for a new career.
What transferable skills are there from pig scratching?
Well, this is all about the man who's hypnotised rabbits. So
what?
He was thinking he could... Haven't you seen that?
There's a man hypnotised rabbits?
He hypnotises rabbits, except he doesn't hypnotise rabbits, and he says he doesn't. He just puts them in a trance and then scratches them and tickles them and gets them to stop being such a nasty rabbit.
Would that work on bugs?
As in Bugs Bunny?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Bugs Bunny would cry, saying, this is molestation.
That's the best Bugs Bunny impression ever.
I need an appropriate adult.
Inappropriate touching, Doc.
Wow.
What was that?
We go, wah, wah, wah.
That's
What's
the
up,
penguin.
Doc? Oh, yeah, he does. Okay, next one. Sex hormones in the city.
Right, and that's about HRT, I suppose.
No, it's not actually. It's could estrogen be a cure for the male-dominated city thing, and is testosterone to blame for the economic crisis?
Uh-huh.
And number four, is this an article or is it a farcical? A mother-in-law unto herself.
Mother-in-law unto herself. And who is the said mother-in-law?
I think it's Amy Bloom.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know either.
Okay.
Like Amy Pond, only less ginger.
There's something very, very attractive about Amy Pond.
Do you know what it is?
What?
She's very, very attractive.
That's probably it, yeah. That's true.
Probably it, yeah.
So, yeah, Gladiators of Norfolk, Pig Scratcher Man, Sexy Hormones and Mother-in-Laws unto themselves. It doesn't sound like you made any of them up.
Yes.
I'm at a loss. I don't want to put a pen in it. But I may have to. I can't discern which one. The pig scratcher, you named the columnist.
Yeah. Oliver Pratchett.
Sex hormones in the city doesn't sound like something you'd make up. Mother-in-law unto herself. It's just too tenuous. Gladiators of Norfolk is a very odd choice of subject, though. Give me a clue.
Okay, it's definitely not a mother-in-law unto herself. That's definitely in there.
Right, is that a double bluff?
Might be.
Oh, might that's not a clue then, is it? That's just teasing and taunting and badgering.
Just choose, Simon.
All right, the pig scratchy thing. The man who scratches pigs is something that fell out of your ass.
I don't have an ass, I only have an arse, being English. So, dear readers, is Simon right? Was I could use my past skills as a pig scratcher for a new career the farcical in this collection of farcicals and arsicles? And the answer is no, that's a genuine article.
Ooh.
That was it. So, Simon, you have lost. Sex hormones in the city? That was also an article. A mother-in-law unto herself? That was also an article.
Oh, you didn't lie to me.
Which meant Gladiators of New York, of New York, of Norfolk. I changed it then. You see, I can't even remember what I said. That was the farcical. I made that up. I just picked a random job over history, plus a place. If you try and play along at home, that's the technique you should use.
All right.
Random plus random equals believable.
Windmill owners of...
Kentish Town. See? All makes right. sense.
Fair enough. I suck.
Yes.
It's time to decide what is the worst bits of our paper. We call this the humdonger, because for some reason we found that funny about 50 episodes ago.
It was humdinger, if it was a good thing, you see. Yeah. That was humdonger.
Yeah.
You used to say it was a bit like a blowjob done whilst humming.
It's like a proper hummer, and not the big car either. Anyway, I'm going to do a first for Sunday Supplement.
Go on, then.
I'll do something from the sports section.
Wow.
It's a column by Jim Holden, and it's about Portsmouth Football Club. And he says, Portsmouth FC spent millions of pounds they didn't have on players and didn't pay local businesses, right? But I'm thinking a football club without footballists would be a rubbish football club, wouldn't it? Like,
well,
Portsmouth are already the worst and most rubbish at football, but if they didn't have anyone to kick that ball about, they'd be even more rubbish, wouldn't they? So you need to pay the players before anything else, otherwise there's no point to your existence. Not that there's any point to football's existence anyway, but if your whole raison d'etre is to kick a ball and make money out of it, if you don't have at least the feet to kick that ball, then you're a rubbish footballist club.
You could have the boots. You could put the boots on horses.
Or you could just, like, get bars going across the pitch and, like, have model men. And then the crowd could gang up in their hundreds to spin them. And it'd be like a proper table football thing, wouldn't it? That way, at least you would have some input into the game rather than shouting at the man with the cards and telling him he's a wanker or something.
No, that'd be stupid, Simon. The whole point of football is that you collect stickers and put them in a book.
Yeah, but you can do that online now. Without
what?
Having to get the stickers or the book.
I don't believe in such fallacy. Anyway, I have PS, which is at the end of 7. And it's Loves and Hates of Natalie Imbruglia, singer. And ooh. Simon, can you guess which ones she loves and which ones she hates?
Hang on, I'm going to look up my Natalie Imbruglia article and see if we have any kind of crossover. And I might be good at this game.
Go on, man.
Let me just find it. Natalie Imbruglia, Life as I Know It.
Excellent. So... the ocean. Is that a good or a bad thing?
Hang on. She tries to avoid carbohydrates. Her happy place is by the ocean. When you've grown up by the sea, it becomes a part of who you are. So that is a good thing. She loves the ocean.
Correct. Number 2. Shoes.
Oh. No. I think she prefers handbags because she says she can't walk past a handbag shop.
And that's because her shoes are so uncomfortable. There's nothing like a well-made, comfortable stiletto to put you in the mood for a night out. Ha!
Damn.
Okay, number 3, olives.
She loves carbs. There's nothing about olives. I'm going to have to guess. She says she can be a glass half-empty girl, so she probably likes olives.
She hates olives. Next one, cotton wool.
Ooh. Again, she doesn't... Her biggest weakness is velvet cupcakes.
I was going to say cupcakes next, so well done.
Yeah!
You got cupcakes, right?
Doesn't say about cotton wool either, so...
Well, would you love cotton wool or would
no,
you hate
No, you'd hate
wool?
It. She probably makes her teeth stand on end or something.
Exactly that! I hate the sound of cotton wool being pulled apart. It's worse than nails down a blackboard.
Wow. Right, final one then.
This is going to be a bit obvious. Scaffolding!
Scaffolding! She says her perfect Sunday is having brunch with her friends. So I'm guessing she hates scaffolding.
No, she loves it, Simon. It's certainly, of course, she hates it. I don't know who would put scaffolding and not hate it. Maybe there's somebody who really loves scaffolding. Somebody, a Fraggle. That's the Imbruglia is not a Fraggle. That is what we learned. It's the most pointless article in the world. I win.
It's time to decide then who has the superior supplements this
Izzy
week.
Izzy does. No. That's me. I win again.
For the Express, I had some good stuff.
Oh, shut up. I had Sandy Toksvig.
I got a free twirl.
I had a free audiobook with David Tennant. Reading
Doctor Who, so I win.
And I win that anyway, right? And I had Sandy Toksvig, which included the quote, "Whenever I hear the nursery rhyme about Humpty Dumpty and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again, I always think mistake was letting the horses have the first go." Which is genius, and I love it.
Hooves would be good for putting an egg together again.
Yeah.
Is that where oof comes from?
Yeah, maybe. Because you can hoof it up the chicken. No, that's wrong.
I don't like chickens. Anyway, chickens can fuck off.
Oh, chickens.
With their stupid gobble.
I rescued, but I didn't rescue. There was a dying thrush in the garden, right?
What's that got to do with chickens?
Well, they're a bit like chickens. They look a bit like chickens with the babies. It obviously had been hoofed out of its nest by its parents and had just basically landed and died, or was dying. It was kind of wiggling and stuff. So I put it back in its nest thinking, that'd be a nice place for it to die. And then when it died, I put it in a bin liner. So, all I'm saying is, I'm the environmental version of Caniston.
What?
I get rid of thrush.
Fine, you win because of Sandy Toksvig. I'm doing my Sandy Toksvig impression. One day, people are going to know what my Sandy Toksvig impression looks like when we do this as a video podcast, which is never going to happen, ever.
Because you are too hideous to show to the
public. I have a wonky face.
It's not so much a wonky face, it's more sort of a face that's buried under several other faces. It's a bit like a cobble, really. It's just right. A cobble.
But essentially, unless you want to look at a cobble face...
A cobble in the shitty Victorian street.
So join us next week. We'll have more papers, perhaps another interview, I don't know.
Also, you can write to us. We've been getting loads of letters and apologies. It's my fault for having too many very exciting interviews.
We particularly like the one from Sarah talking about her experience with a bagpipist as she walked across Bastion Bridge. And as I said that out loud, that could sound like a very different story indeed. And it's not. Could. It's a very touching story about hearing a man playing bagpipes on a bridge as she listened to our podcast. It had nothing to do with bagpiping.
So, if you do want to write to us, please email sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
You can leave us notes and join our Facebook group on Facebook.
Yeah, or on MySpace.
Or on MySpace,
you can join
really?
Our Facebook group on MySpace. That'd be fine.
Can you?
Yes.
Don't be confusing, Dan. Don't be a dick. Right. And also, you can follow us on Twitter. So it's at SiDone, SiGHDONE, or at Izzy Lawrence, SZI_LAWRENCE.
And keep an eye out for the wonderful and hilarious Kate Smurthwaite, who will be coming to a town near you, no doubt, very
She's
soon.
She's all over the telly. She does Newsnight. She's amazing.
Cheerio, then.
Yeah, goodbye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.